word. Well, the title of today's message is O Holy Night. I just want to begin by saying, many years ago in St. Mary's Hospital, you know what St. Mary's Hospital? You probably don't know, it's in England, okay? There was this place in Paddington, okay, in Paddington. There was a crowd of over 300 reporters, okay? There were a lot of TV technicians, curious onlookers, and there was a lot of barricades as well, alright, a lot of barricades, okay? TV cameramen, some of them were high on ladders, okay, with the cameras, and they were trying to look into inside the hospital because a very famous baby was going to be born, okay? And the mummy was in labor since 7:30 the morning, and so they were waiting in the afternoon, and after 9 hours, the afternoon light began to fade, the gray sky threatened rain. A son was born, okay, to Princess Diana of Wales. Okay, that was in 1980s. His name officially would be known as Prince Henry Charles Albert David. Okay, that's his official name, but they'll call him Harry. Alright, I think we all know Prince Harry. And there was this reporter who shouted, "Oh, boy, it's a boy!" Okay, he shouted to all. And moments later, this was the official statement: "Her Royal Highness, the Princess Diana, has issued for us a second son." Okay, as he said that, champagne during that time popped. Church bells began to ring throughout the entire United Kingdom, at least in London area, in England. There were a lot of flowers, telegrams coming into the hospital. And they also had, they had a traditional 41-gun salute. 41-gun salute, alright? And there were two. One was fired by the Queen's troop, a Royal Horse Artillery. There was another one being fired from the Tower of London, alright, where Henry the Eighth, the last King Henry, had his two of his six wives killed, beheaded. So there was when Prince Harry was born, reporters were there, hundreds of people were there. There were 41 gun salute, two batteries of 41 gun salute was there. During that time, although he was a third in line to the throne, okay, he was a third in line to the throne. He probably would not be the king of the king of England, but there was a lot of publicity over his birth. Okay, tonight we want to look at yet another birth that was not as attended, if you like. There were not many people who knew about this particular birth, but this birth will have universal influence. Okay, I think we know. Let's turn to the book of Luke chapter 2 and verse 29. That's not a passage, but I just want to tell you some of the influence that the Bible says the birth of Christ will have on this world. In Luke chapter 2 and verse 29, there was this old man, his name is Simeon. And according to him, God said, "Simeon, you will not die until you see the Messiah." And so it was true in verse 29. After he has held the baby Jesus in his hands, in verse 28, then he took him up in his arms and blessed God and said, "Lord, let us thou thy servant depart in peace according to thy word, for mine eyes have seen thy salvation." Now, the influence of the Lord Jesus Christ's birth is this, in verse 31, "which thou hast prepared before the face of all people." Number one, it's going to lighten the light. He alight to lighten the Gentiles and the glory of thy people Israel, and light up the world with hope. Jesus is going to light up this entire world with hope. That baby, even though not many people knew about his birth, will light up the entire world with hope. That's what Simeon said in prayer. And then, look at verse 33 and 34, "and Joseph and his mother marveled at those things which were spoken of him. And Simeon blessed them and said unto Mary his mother, Behold, this child is set for the fall and rising again of many in Israel, and for a sign which shall be spoken against." The influence of the Lord Jesus Christ's birth is going to separate people with truth. It's going to separate the people with truth. all along history, you find that whenever there's a Christian who stands off on the Bible, you will find that there will always be a separation. And then, the Bible also says, in verse 35, yea, a sword shall pierce through thine own soul also, and the thoughts of many hearts may be revealed. This Lord Jesus Christ's birth would expose the hearts of many. It will show in reality what kind of person we are. So the influence of the Lord Jesus Christ, although not many people knew about his birth is going to expose the hearts of many. And I want you to also look at this part whereby you say, yea, a sword shall pierce through thine own soul also. The pain the heart of Mary is going to experience when he would see his own son, her own son, crucified on the cross. Okay? This birth honors lowly shepherds in Luke chapter 2 and reject kings, King Herod. This birth reveals those who are wise, the wise men who came, and those who merely study him. There were some wise men under King Herod who only knew that Jesus was going to be born in Bethlehem, Micah chapter 5 and verse 2. But the birth of Christ will separate the wise men who will seek for Jesus versus those who will just study about his life. This birth is set apart. This birth is set apart and is holy. It was a holy night that night. It was a set apart night that night. Now, what is the meaning of holy? What is the meaning of holy? Anyone? What's the meaning of holy? The word holy means a? Separated from? Okay, separated from the world. Okay, anyone? The meaning of set up, the meaning of holy means to be set apart. Just to be set apart, okay? You can be set apart from anything, alright? Like maybe in this group, afterwards, maybe there will be a group that will do certain things, so that group is set apart, okay? The meaning of holy is set apart. Now, it means to be sanctified. That holy night was a set apart night, a night to remember, a night that we think on, a night to be treated specially. I want to give you four reasons why it was a special night. Let's turn to Matthew chapter 1, which is our text for today, verse 18 to 25. Matthew chapter 1, verse 18 to 25. Why was it a special night? Why was it a holy night? Why was it a set apart night? Number one, it was a special night because there was a miraculous birth. Look at verse 18. When the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ, when the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise, when his mother Mary was espoused to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost. The birth of Jesus Christ was this on this way. This was how Jesus was born. The Lord Jesus Christ was born miraculously. He was given miraculously. Okay, this was a miracle for a few reasons. Okay, there are many reasons you can give. But it's a miraculous birth because, number one, Joseph and Mary never had a physical relationship. Right? We all know that. Okay? Never had a physical relationship. Both of them were pure and holy in the sight of God. There was no physical contact whatsoever between the two. They observed all the proper rules of propriety between man and lady. They would never touch one another in any way. Alright? So there was no physical relationship between the both. Number two, it was a miracle because what Mary had inside of her defied the natural laws that God has in place. The natural law tells us that in order for a baby to be born, a man and a woman must get together, okay, in a physical relationship. But Mary, it was a miracle because Mary had in her a baby that defied natural law. Does it make sense? It defied natural law. Can I say this? God has the right and the authority to intervene in the natural laws to carry out His will in our lives. Does that make sense? God has absolute right to intervene in the natural laws to carry out His will in our lives. Alright? Number three was a miraculous verse because in the woman, there is no seed in woman. The woman, the seed is from the man. The seed is from the man. Okay? Number four, it was a miraculous birth because it was a miracle of God's righteousness. And I want to touch on this a little bit because this is very important in application to us. God, what God did defied the customs of those days. What God did defied the customs of those days. Let me explain. It is a hard thing to go against culture and belief and tradition and what would be normally expected in a relationship. Alright, in Mary and Joseph's situation. You see, Joseph and Mary were spouse, they were betrothed to each other. Okay, in those days, in the Jewish way is a man will go to a lady, or man likes a lady and he goes to the parents and so he says, I think I'd like to marry your daughter. Usually the father is the one of the man who comes to ask for the hand of marriage. Okay. It was a period of time for Joseph and Mary from the engagement to the marriage time. In other words, they were not officially married, they were engaged. But under Jewish law, it was as good as they were married already. As good as they were married already. Okay? Now, so it was a period also that the husband went to prepare the house and the materials, the material things to take care of the wife, the husband-to-be. So the man has to go away, take care, prepare all the stuff before he comes and fetch the bride home, alright, at a set time later. Both of them were bound by love to each other to remain pure, no physical contact whatsoever with others and with each other. So, what Mary went through was hard. It was a miraculous birth because God defied the custom of those days. But can I say this? Ask the question, was there sin in this birth? Was there sin in this birth? Okay, that's interesting, right? Because sometimes we think, maybe you never thought of, was there sin in this birth? Three questions to help us. Number one, did Mary sin? No. Did Joseph sin? Did God sin? No. This is a very important principle for us in making decision that defies customs and traditions to do God's will. Does it make sense? Sometimes, when we make certain decisions in our lives, we must be very clear, nothing in the process of decision making violates any scriptural commands or scriptural principle. And I want us to learn this principle tonight from the birth of Christ. Example, a choice of a course. Okay, example, make a decision. Let's say someone comes to you and say, I'd like to have a course in bartending. No bartending? Bartender? Would you encourage this brother or sister? Would you encourage him? But that's what I like. We know it's sin. Habakkuk chapter 2 and verse 15. Curse is the one, woe to him that giveth his neighbor drink. Alright? We cannot encourage that. Okay? Because it's a clear violation of a scripture command. What about tourism? A course in tourism. That's a bit hard, right? Tourism. You know, some people say, no, Brother Johnny, why not? No, nothing. I just learn about tourism and all that. You know, personally, as a pastor, I would say, no, I don't think it's a wise course. Why? Because tourism, I know, as a tour guide, it will take you away from church. Because many of the tours happen on Sundays. Alright, you're not going to be able to be involved in a local church. No, in this day and age, not many people will follow biblical principles like that. So when we make decisions, we must be very, very clear. Genuine love for Christ dictates that if it would take me away from the Savior I love, I will reject it. Okay? So that's a principle we have to learn. It's a miraculous birth because it defied the customs of those days, but there was no sin involved. Only the wisdom of God can do that. But you know what? God wants that wisdom in our lives too. Alright? It was a miraculous birth that night. Number one. Number two, it was also a special holy birth because it revealed the character of the people involved. Look at verse 19. Verse 19. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man, not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put her away privately or privily. Joseph was a man of integrity. This is an excellent picture for fathers. Okay, fathers, listen. When you're looking for a man, alright, for your daughter, that man must be a man of integrity, holiness, and justice. He was a just man, the Bible says, a man who kept the law sincerely. This justice in Joseph dictated that he cannot continue with his espousal to Mary because he can only make a judgment based on what he can see. Does it make sense? He said, well, Mary says he's with child, and Joseph would probably think, what in the world happened, Mary? You know, I loved you, but, you know, why? To Joseph, a man of integrity, once he sees sin, he cannot tolerate sin. Or anything that will compromise the holiness of God. Because the Bible says he was a just man. For he knew he cannot continue with Mary because it would be perceived sin. I say perceived because in the mind of Joseph, he would have thought that Mary had sinned, right? So it would be perceived in his mind. It would bring shame. And it would destroy his reputation. In this particular aspect, notice, we can see that Joseph loved God more than even his ex-spouse wife. Does it make sense? It was a hard time for Mary, I'm sure. But Joseph, being a just man, knew that he cannot continue thought for us. Will we put away what we love if it may stumble others, cause shame, or do damage to our reputation? But you know what? But notice that Joseph was also a tender man. He was a just man, but he was also a tender, gracious person towards Mary. And I'm sure he will be a loving husband to her. But because in verse 19, he said he considered Mary and the consequences. Look at verse 19, the last part. He's not willing to make her a public example. The word public example, if you search the meaning, means put her to public shame. In other words, shame and disgrace. In other words, expose her and basically she will be stoned to death. As much as Joseph was just, Joseph was also, look, I still care for this lady. It's not as if, why, you, how can you do that to me? Joseph did not want to make her a public example. That means to put her to open shame, but he was not willing to do so. So on the one hand, he wanted to do what is right in the sight of God. On the other hand, he still loved this particular person. So what did he do? You know, what he did was important. He thought about it. The Bible says he was minded to put her away privily, verse 20, but why he thought on these things. In other words, he didn't make a decision. He did not make a decision until he thought through it. And he waited. He waited. In situations whereby things are questionable, do we go ahead and decide or do we wait on the Lord for His intervention? If you look at Joseph, that was what he did. He thought on it, he waited. God honored Joseph with his patience and God intervened. Look at verse 20. But why he thought on these things? In other words, he didn't make a decision. The Bible tells us what his decision is, or rather what was going through his mind. On the one hand, he's a just man. On the other hand, he loved Mary. God, what in the world am I supposed to do? You know what? The Bible says why he thought. You know, for us, it's so important for us to learn to wait on God. Especially when there are questionable things. Especially in this situation, Joseph had a problem. It was a good problem. But you know, he had a problem. God honored Joseph with his intervention. While he thought on this thing, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. Learning point for us. Trials come to test the character of each one of us. Trials and situations oftentimes comes from God to test our willingness to obey Him and to continue in those things which we have learned. Trials that come when it's met with with justice of God, with love for God, and with patience towards God, God will intervene. Does it make sense? So in other words, when we go through a specific situation and we say, Lord, what in the world am I supposed to do? You know what you need to do? Wait. 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 If it's God's will, God will intervene. Oh, we've seen it so many times, Ambassador. That place is one. How God intervened. Even though, Lord, we don't know what to do, and you know, as a man, we're talking this, talking that, having many, many options. But you know what? Out of the blue, God just said, well, God intervened in a special way. In a way that is so miraculous that it's like, our jaw dropped. Firstly, he showed the character of Joseph. Number two, he also showed the character of Mary. Let's turn to the book of Luke. Luke chapter 1. For Joseph, it was a terrible time because, say, look, I'm espoused to this girl, this lady, and she's with child, and I don't know what happened, you know. All I know is, following the law of God, I cannot continue. But at the same time, if I don't continue with her, that means what? I need to put her away. And that will be to public shame. Alright, and generally for engagement times, many people have known about it. But look at Luke chapter 1, verse 26. It showed also the character of Mary. The Bible says in verse 26, in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God unto a city of Galilee named Nazareth to a virgin espoused to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. And the angel came in unto her and said, Hail, thou that art highly favored, the Lord is with thee, blessed art thou among women. And when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying, and cast in her mind what manner of salutation this should be. The angel said unto her, fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. Behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb, and bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus. He shall be great, and shall be called the Son of the Highest. The Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David. Look at verse 34. Then said Mary unto angel, how shall this be, seeing I know no man? I knew no man. And in verse 35, you're going down to 35. The angel answered and said unto her, the Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the Highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also the holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. Behold, thy cousin Elizabeth, she also hath conceived a son in her old age, and this is the sixth month with her who was called barren. Verse 38, oh important point. And Mary said, behold the handmaid of the Lord. Behold the servant of the Lord. Behold whatever you want to do with me, Lord. Be it unto me according to thy word. And this is very important. Because it showed the character of Mary. It showed, number one, the submission of Mary to the will of God. The submission of Mary to the will of God, to a thing that is so impossible in that time. For Mary, she was a lady brought up in Christ. Okay, brought up in the Jewish law. And can I say this, when you are brought up in Christianity, you were brought up as... Can I say this for those who are growing up in Christian families? When you grow up in a Christian home, your faith will be tested severely. Because Satan wants to pull you out from your roots. Okay? And it is those people who has received the most training will put through the most severe testing. Does that make sense? I say that again. For those who have received the most biblical training will be those who are put to the severest tests. Mary had to go through those. Can you imagine what she went through? She knew that if I'm going to have this child, she who knew the Jewish law, she knew she was going to be what? Stoned to death. If she was exposed. But you know, there were a few things that went through her mind. In verse 29, number one, there was fear. What would people say? Lord, what would you say? Verse 29, then again there was doubt. The Bible says that when he saw she was troubled and cast in her mind what manner of salutation this should be, there was doubt. And in verse number 34, then said Mary unto, how shall these things be, seeing I know no man? Oh, that was a natural response. But Mary was fearful, she was doubtful, but look at verse 34. Sorry, look at verse 38. There was obedience, and there was immediate obedience. Can I say this? You who have been brought up in Christian homes, if you have the right spirit towards the word of God, there will be immediate obedience to what God wants you to do. Immediate obedience. Lord, If this is what is done, is what this all will, I'll do it. You know, this is so interesting because in Mary's situation, she in the Jewish law, I think we all know, is stoning by death by stoning. But you know what he said? Be it unto me as the handmaid of the Lord. I'm your servant, Lord. If this well will, then let it be. In other words, she was willing. It was immediate, even though there was going to be severe consequences. Alright, you know what the consequences? She knew she was going to lose her life. If found out, number two, she knew immediately. Sorry, her obedience was immediate, even though she knew she may lose the one she loves. She ought to love God more than men. You know what? For Mary, it was a hard decision, but you know what? Her obedience was immediate. This was a set-apart birth because it revealed the character of the individual. Today, his birth still reveals our character. Do we love God more? Or do we love ourselves more? Or do we love this world more? When God says this, are we willing to tweak it to fit ourselves? Or say, if God, that's what your will says, I'll do it. It was a special birth because it reveals the character of a person. Point number three, it was a special birth because a Savior was born. Look at verse 21. Matthew chapter 1, verse 21. Matthew chapter 1, verse 21. And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. For he shall save his people from their sins. The Savior was promised in the Old Testament to the Jews, right? It was promised to the Old Testament to the Jews. In the law, it was promised to the Jews. Let's turn to Deuteronomy chapter 18. So we can see that. Deuteronomy chapter 18. Deuteronomy chapter 18. Verse 17 to 19. I'll just read. And the Lord said unto me, they have well spoken that which they have spoken. Verse 18, I will raise them up a prophet from among their brethren like unto thee. The word prophet has to do with the Lord Jesus Christ. Okay, so all through the Jewish history, the Jews have already expected a Jewish Messiah like unto thee. I will put my words in his mouth, and he shall speak unto them all that I shall command him. And it shall come to pass that whosoever will not hearken unto my words, he shall speak my name. I will require it of him. Alright, the capital P there, the translators have mentioned it for us. The prophet there refers to the Lord Jesus Christ. That's why in John chapter 1, remember when the Pharisees and the scribes were asking John the Baptist, are you Elijah or the prophet? Remember? Alright, that's where it's from. So for the Pharisees, they knew. Are you the Elijah that the Old Testament talking about? Or are you the prophet? Alright, you don't believe me? You look at John chapter 1. Are you the prophet that was to come? Okay? It was referring to the Jewish Messiah. It was a holy night because God had a purpose to save his people from their sins. This refers to the Jews, but you know, do you realize if you look at the verse here, he shall save his people from their sins. You know who that refers to? It refers specifically to the Jews in the interpretation of the context. He shall save his people from their sins. Because Jesus is a Jewish Messiah. Okay? Can I say this? If the Jewish people would have accepted him at that time, that's the end of story, war over. Jesus would have set up his throne. But you know what? God had another plan. You know what's that plan? You and me. Amen? Let's turn to Genesis chapter 12. Genesis chapter 12. God had a purpose. Genesis chapter 12. And verse number 2. Sorry, verse number 3. Let's read together, alright? Ready? Genesis chapter 12, verse 3. Ready? 1, 2, go. And I will bless them that bless thee, and curse them that curse thee. And in thee shall all families of the earth be blessed. God told Abraham, when you follow me, in you, every family on this earth will be blessed. What was he referring to? Both the Jews and us. How many Jews are there here? No Jews here. No Jews, right? No one. Anyone Jews? Your great-great-great-great-great-great-grandfather is a Jew? No one? Alright? But you know what? Jesus included us in his redemption plan. Amen? That purpose on that night was for us too. It was for us. In Luke chapter 2 and verse 32, just now I read, a light to lighten the Gentiles. You know, even to a Jewish person, this Jewish man was saying, look, when Jesus is born, it was a light to lighten us. Were we in sin? Were we in sin? Were we concerned about the fact that we were in sin? You know, many people today out there are not concerned about sin. I was just responding to someone who said, why many people still don't know about the purpose of the birth of Christ today? I responded to him, it's because maybe as Christians we have not been telling the story. Do you realize many people along the way, in the bus drivers, many of them have never heard. You know, like Sister Jamie went to Vietnam and they had an opportunity to give out tracts to someone, speak to someone about Christ, be an encouragement to someone. Were we in sin? You know, probably as we start, you may think that this is an evangelistic message. But you know what? I believe God has a plan to go through these principles. Do you realize, Christians, do you realize how serious sin is? Have you ever paused to consider how terrible sin is? How terrible is sin? Can anyone give an illustration how terrible is sin? Anyone? For the youth, maybe for teenagers, 13 to 19. Okay. Can you give me an example? Why is sin so sinful? Why do we always have to preach about sin? Why do we preach against sin? Anyone? Can you give an illustration? Anyone? Why is sin so sinful? From the Bible, from... Why is sin so sinful? Anyone? The teens, come on. Think. Is it too late to think already? The night is still young. Anyone? Why is sin so sinful? Or maybe the adults or whoever. Some learned man or lady. Anyone? Why is sin so sinful? How sinful is sin? Sorry? Okay, sin leads to death. Okay, sin leads to death. We all know that. But any other stronger illustrations? Christ had to die on the cross for sin. Okay, so that was a result, right? But why is sin so terrible? Sorry? Sin is so serious, it requires an eternity in hell, right? How many sin?
One.
Children, are you listening? One sin is all it takes to send us to hell forever. One sin. If you sin twice, what does that mean? You spend two eternities in hell. Do you realize how serious that is? In other words, every time you... I like this. Children, when you disobey your parents, one time, you know what God says? That's an eternity in hell. As Bible-believing Christians, we need to realize how serious it is. That's why we cannot even compromise. Because Jesus came to pay the seriousness of sin. Did you know that if Jesus didn't come, we are doomed? If He said, why in the world should I die for some people who don't even listen to me? Huh? Sometimes as parents, we look at our children and say, why am I working so hard for you? I ask you to study, you still don't want to study. Huh? Ask you to sweep the floor also, I ask you 16 times. Huh? To the power of 10. And then maybe you pick up the broom. Huh? Why should I work so hard? You know what? Thank God for unconditional love. That despite our sin, Jesus still came. You know, if you look at Romans chapter 3, the Bible says, there is none that understandeth. No one even thinks about God. We don't even consider God sometimes. You know, can I say this? Our ignorance of God was a concern to God. Our ignorance to God was a concern to God. Just like many of us as children don't realize how concerned our parents are about you with regards to your ignorance of your duties. Does it make sense? That we will... There was one... I have one friend, his name is Sham. He's a very cute guy. He's a Christian. He loves the Lord. But he said this. We were nearing our A-levels. He looked at me, we were in the council, so he was looking at me, Johnny, I'm concerned that I'm not concerned about my exams. I'm concerned. Yeah, I'm not concerned about. At least he has some insight. But you know, as parents, we've got to be concerned for our children when they have no insight into their problems. Is that not right? How do you think God thinks? When you and I were in sin, Jesus Christ came. Because he shall save his people from their sin. He sent a Savior into the world even though the world rejected him. Oh Christian, you who have trusted the Lord Jesus, do you realize that despite our ignorance, sometimes our self-willed ways, that means we go our own way, Christ still came for you. He came to die for us even before we knew him. Even before we knew him. Our deepest need was not for things or love or even what we think we need. Our deepest need was someone to die for our sin. But we didn't know that until Jesus came. It was a special birth because without this birth, you and I will see the fires of hell. Without the birth of Jesus Christ 2,000 years ago, you and I will never have an opportunity to see the glories of heaven. Isn't that great? And I don't know about you. Maybe it's just a simple message. I hope it won't just be a message. But you know, if Jesus didn't come, children, are you listening? If Jesus didn't come, you know, sometimes we really look forward to Christmas. What would you look forward to Christmas for? Sometimes some people look forward to Christmas because of chocolates and presents and all that kind of thing, right? And then our church always have providential feasts, and I get to eat Filipino food, Indian food, Chinese food, and all kinds of food, yeah. But you know what? Christmas is not about makan, okay? Christmas is about Christ. Christmas is about the Lord Jesus Christ. What does that do for us? When we realize that, Lord, you came 2,000 years ago because you knew, if I didn't know you, I'll be on my way to hell. Jesus broke the power of sin so that you and I will not be slave. Because of his sacrifice, he alone is able to save. So tell me, why do we keep on desiring the things that nailed him to the tree? Why? A songwriter put in this, why do we keep on desiring the things that nailed him to the tree when Jesus came to make us free? It was a special birth because the Savior was born. And I dare not assume, but I think generally across, as I look across, many of us who have trusted Christ as our personal Savior, perhaps, maybe for our children. That's why I always target children in messages, because children, don't bank on your parents' salvation for yourself to go to heaven. You need to trust Christ as your personal Savior. Did you know that? Just because mommy and daddy is a faithful Christian doesn't mean Christ accepts you unless you come to him. Because Jesus died for you too. Did you know that? Now I hope you remember this until the day you die, alright? Okay? And the last point, number four, it was a special birth. It was a set apart birth. Because it fulfilled the prophecy of God that was given 700 years earlier. Matthew chapter 1. And verse number 21. Look at verse 21. The Bible says, he shall bring forth a son, thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Verse 22. Now all this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken of by the Lord, of the Lord by the prophet, saying, behold, a virgin shall be with child, shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. Emmanuel. Do you realize this prophecy was given 700 years earlier? And the name will be Emmanuel? Do you realize one thing, Christian? God has always wanted to be with us. Amen? From the beginning of time, even when Adam and Eve sinned, who came looking for... When Adam and Eve was playing hide and seek, who came... Who was the seeker? God. Where are you? You know what does that... Tell me, God wants to be with Adam and Eve. Because he came into the cool of the garden and said, Adam, where are you? I'm not playing hide and seek with you. Adam, where are you? Why are you hiding? I thought every day we could have fellowship. But you know what? You know, Adam sinned and Eve sinned. Who initiated redemption's plan? Who started redemption's plan? God. Who called Abraham? God. Who called Moses? God. Who called Joshua? God. Who was the one who opened the Red Sea for them? God. Who gave all these prophecies that I'm going to send you a Savior? God. Can I say this? God has absolute desire to be with His people. Always God wants to be with us. Did you know that? Christian, if you're a Christian, do you realize God on a daily basis wants to see you? Wants to meet with you. But you know one thing? God doesn't force Himself into our appointment booklet. He wants our appointment with Him to be voluntary. That we would think of Him. You know, isn't it special if a friend would think about another friend and of constantly being in touch with their friend? Can I ask you a question? How constant are you in touch with God? Can I say this? God is always a silent person. Said, I'm waiting for you today. Next time when you forget to read your Bible, just imagine God sitting at the corner. You don't want to talk to me today. You don't want to hear me. Because the Bible says, God with us. Do you realize the Lord Jesus is with us tonight? The Bible says where two or three are gathered in His name, there He is in the midst of them. Do you realize Jesus wants to bless your heart? Even though you may be. You know, I'm thankful none of you are there, but you know, even though we may not be fully aware, Jesus has a blessing for us. The Lord Jesus wants to bless us. You know how much God desires to be with us? The question we have to ask ourselves is, how much time are we giving to Him? As we close, can I ask you four things based on these 4 points? Would you do something for the Lord that you know is right? No sin involved, no principle involved, no principle broken. But what people may think contrary to tradition, would you be willing? It could be that you may say, Lord, I give myself totally to serve You. That God, I will switch my mind from a mentality that I have to provide for my needs to Lord, trusting You to provide for my needs, I'm going to serve You. Would there be something that you'll be willing to do? Would you learn to wait on the Lord in situations where things are questionable, rather than decide based on our own wisdom? Like Joseph and Mary, that Joseph waited. While he was thinking on these things, God intervened. Can I say this? If you are just in your dealings, but at the same time willing to wait on God, you won't be long before God will come. It won't be long. But many times, God has to say, I can't do anything because you guys went ahead of me. You guys did it first. Would you be willing to wait? Number three, would you decide to spend more time with the Lord Jesus in Bible, in prayer, in Bible reading, in church going, and fellowship? You know, I've got to mention church because you realize that every time we meet, Jesus is here. Do you realize that? May 2012 be different. The gathering of God's people in the early church, they were always overfull. Because they knew the Lord Jesus was there. If you read in the Bible, many times when Jesus was healing or preaching, people were hanging off, they were looking in from the windows and everywhere, right? To the point that even the friend they couldn't get into the house, they had to come through the ceiling. Do you realize Jesus is just as here today as He was 2,000 years ago in every meeting? You know, in the heart of this pastor, every worship time must be a lifting up time whereby we lift up the name of Christ. When we come, it's not just for a survey, we don't just go through the motions. We want Jesus to touch everyone's life every time because He is here. Will we make the decision to spend more time with Him in church, in fellowship, in thinking about Him more than we are now? We're going to be fasting and praying on the 7th of January. Can I say the moment you fast, you free yourself from the flesh, you focus on God? Well, I hope not, but if you're not a Christian, would you come to Christ tonight because the Savior was born? Will this be a holy night for you? I've written down in your notes 4 decisions. And may God make this a special night for you too. It was a holy night that night. On Sunday, I'm going to talk about a different group of people. But you know, is this going to be a holy night for you? Let's have a word of prayer. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for this time. Thank you, Father, for who you are. Lord, we thank you that what Jesus did, when you sent your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, Father, it was for us. And even through the passage in Mary and Joseph's life, you taught us so many things of God, how we need to learn to trust you, to wait on you. Lord, I pray for every brother and sister here. Oh God, I pray that it will be a special night tonight. Of those four decisions, Lord, is it possible that you are telling them to do something for you that they have never done before, and they will decide by your grace to do it? Oh Lord, are you speaking to someone that they will decide tonight to wait on you rather than move forward? And Lord, that you will show the person your will. Father, are you speaking to someone also? The Lord, perhaps we're not spending as much time as we should. I know that many of us are busy, Lord. You know that many of us are busy with work. But God, may our work also be sanctified to you. That God, we can serve you even through our work, to be a ministry to the people we serve. For even in our jobs, we don't just serve the boss, we serve Christ. Is it possible, Lord, you are speaking to us that we might spend more time with you? And God, I pray for one who may not know Jesus. And I pray, Father, that you will speak to that person, that they will come tonight. Your eyes closed, heads bowed. I just want to ask just one question. Has the Lord spoken to you in any of these four decisions? And they said, Brother Johnny, pray for me. I'm going to make one of these four decisions. But I need God to give me strength too. Is there anyone? Amen. I see one hand. Is there anyone else? Amen. I see that hand too. Anyone else? Amen. I see that hand. Don't make a decision just because everyone is, but you make because God has spoken to you and said, Lord, this is a decision I'm going to make. Is there anyone? And you know what? Identify the decision and then pray as we are praying. Is there anyone else? I'm going to make one of these decisions, Brother Johnny. I need you to pray that God will give me strength. Is there anyone else? Let's pray. Lord, I pray for everyone who have made at least one decision, Lord. Father, I ask that your Holy Spirit will speak to them in a special way. Give them additional strength. Thank you, Lord, for what you're going to do. I pray that your Holy Spirit will continue to move among your people. And God, I'm not too sure what you are doing in our lives, but I do know you are working in our lives. Father, we pray that we will be like Joseph and Mary, totally submitted to your will. But Lord, thank you for the Lord Jesus Christ. Help us in our lives daily to glorify Him. And so, Lord, as we just sing the closing hymn, I pray, Lord, that you make this night a special night for all. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.